Good evening, everybody, and welcome in to episode 22 of Dollars to Deuces, a Toilets to Titles production. I'm joined again this evening by my buddy Abe. How you doing tonight, man?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, it's a couple days away from some Packers football and the rest of the divisional game, so I'm pretty pumped up. It's been a long week.
Yes, it has. It's definitely getting closer, finally. It seemed like it was never going to get there, but we're getting closer.
Yeah, I think I told somebody the other day, it's like I kind of like get the chills almost like when I've been thinking about it because I'm like just so ready for it to be here.
Yeah. And even after watching some games last week, you get that taste of it. But obviously, both of us being Packers fans, we're pretty fired up for Saturday, that's for sure.
Yeah, to say the least. So I'm ready for it. It's going to be it'll be a fun evening Saturday, I think.
Yes.
So
hopefully, yes.
Yeah, I'm just going to say it is going to be. So before we get started, I'll run through some things here. You can listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podbean, Spotify. We're on Facebook. We've got two pages there. When a Family Breaks is a sports kind of memorabilia trading page. A lot of good stuff on there. It'll kind of pick up, too, I think, once the Super Bowl and everything's over. So also, please hit the like and subscribe button, whether it's on YouTube, or if you're on Facebook, give us a 5-star review, please. We would appreciate that. It helps us out a bunch. Or just if you don't think so, then whatever you think. So we won't be mad. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/toiletstotitles. I got a pretty active Discord. There's three different tiers. $3 a month gets you into the group chat on Discord. And I believe all the Patreon members got free entry into our Toilets to Titles playoff league, which has been a fun week so far. Tier 2 is $5 a month, gets you early access to the waiver episodes in season, entry into the Frankenstank Listener League, and into the group chat. And then $10 gets you one-on-one roster analysis every month with anybody on the team. Don't pick me because I stink. And free entry into the Listener League, plus the other stuff I already said. So one last thing, too, real quick before I forget. Check out our website, toiletstotitles.com. Ton of good fantasy content, NFL content. All the videos and all the articles all the guys are putting out. So everybody's working their tails off to make it fun. So please check it out. Let us know what you think. But yeah, that's about it. So we'll get going and go over last week. I think it was some of the games were fun last week anyways. I mean, I was very surprised that the Raiders had a chance at the end of that game. I thought it was going to kind of just get away from them and they hung around, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of what they've done. I mean, they've kind of hung around and made it a game in the second half. They do that a lot. You know, they've done a lot this year. It never seemed like it was that close. It just seemed like, you know, at any point in time that it was, you know, a 2-3 score game, and it just never felt threatening if you were rooting for the Bengals. And so I kind of thought the same thing. I just thought that it was never a threat, and I think the Bengals had pretty much control that whole entire game.
Yeah, I didn't really think it'd be close. I don't know if Carr played pretty well. That last drive when they were with, you know, kind of trying to score, they had 30 some seconds left or whatever, and it seemed like he didn't need to spike the ball. I don't know. It is what it is, but it was a fun game. I was on the Bengals -5.5. They won by 7, so they covered there pretty easily. I did miss on the total. I thought it'd go over. I thought there'd be a little more fireworks than we saw. I think a lot of people did that way, though, because I know, like, in our playoff league, I didn't actually start anybody in this game, and I think it kind of helped me, but it wasn't as, you know, yeah, Joe Burrow threw 2 touchdowns, but that was about it. It wasn't who you thought, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That's one thing about it too, is I thought, we've seen the fireworks happen with the Bengals quite a bit with their studs. And all of a sudden you see Uzomah score a touchdown. And it's just one of those things where you're waiting for Chase to catch a long one or T to get a long one or something like that. And it just didn't happen. But I too was, you know, I said this in the cast last week that I thought it would be open at a touchdown game and a 7-point game. Obviously that's where it ended up. I too thought it was going to hit the over, and obviously it didn't, But it's still football on Saturday, so it was fun to watch.
Yeah.
So anytime you get to watch that, we're going to really be missing it here before too long, unfortunately, but it was obviously a pretty good game to watch. You know, hats off to the Raiders. They've had a lot going on this year, obviously. But they fought to the very end.
Yeah, they did. I don't know how that coach did it, but you know, I said hats off to him, and he had a hell of a season, that's for sure. And I will say Carr blew his over for passing yards out of the water. It was like 257 and a half, and he threw for 310. So, but he had done that all year, really. Was pretty consistent. So mm-hmm. Other than that, I said Mixon missed his over. He didn't seem like he was involved. I don't know. It seemed like the game was kind of in check. So I don't know. I didn't watch. I missed quite a bit of the game because I was out eating, and the TV I was watching it on was pretty shitty.
So one thing I thought about or talked about, I don't remember which one, was Mixon. You know, if he gets involved in the passing game, that he's bound to just blow up and have a crazy game. And he did get four or five targets, got some catches. They got him the ball out in the open. But for some reason, the last month or so, running the ball, I think he's averaging less than four a carry the last 4 or 6 weeks or something. And that really hasn't been him. And it's fun to see him out in space. But as we've seen in the playoffs, you got to run the ball. And I think that's, something he's going to have to do a little bit more this week, and hopefully gets those yards per carry up a little bit more than what he's been.
Yeah. We'll see. I think they got a, we'll talk about that game in a minute. I won't get into it too much here. So, moving on to the other, I didn't even watch this game, to be honest with you. Like I said, it was a blowout, and it was pretty much from the get-go. And I think that was when Micah Hyde made that pick. I think that was kind of when it was like, well, good try, you know. Yeah. So I think we were both on the Bills minus four. They won by 30. So, and everybody I've talked to was so excited because they're like, oh, yeah, the Patriots got what they had coming. You know, they've been running the score up on everybody. And it's like, I don't know if the Patriots or the Bills were trying to run the score up. I just think they couldn't be stopped. So, every time they're on the field, they scored. So it's, you know.
That's about as efficient as you can get on that. So, kind of like you, I had this game on, but I did not have sound on. I was kind of out about myself for this game. So it just seemed like every time you kind of looked up, the Bills were celebrating in the end zone. And that's a team, the Patriots are a team that's not really built, around, getting down and coming back. They don't have wide receivers that can stretch a field and make huge plays. They don't have that type of offense. And I think the Bills took that lead. I think they, you see a lot of times where players or teams can kind of let up a little bit. And I don't think that I think they had a little bit different mentality in this playoff game where, we're going to do it. We're going to win. We're going to step on their throats and keep the gas up, keep it going. So, it was impressive. Like I said, I didn't have the volume on, but it was impressive to look up every time and see them scoring. It's a pretty efficient. I think I saw that they're perfect on offense. Scored a touchdown.
They didn't punt. No turnovers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I don't know if it was on this show last week or the normal one, but I made a comment about the Bills. Get the couple weeks leading up to the playoffs and then getting in the playoffs. Like they kind of shown they were able to elevate their game to like that playoff level. And like I said, they're going to be tough to beat. I mean. And we kind of knew that, at the beginning of the season, a lot of people had them picked to go to the Super Bowl. But they've really shown, and I don't know, Devin Singletary's been running the ball really well. Most of the year they couldn't run the football.
Yeah.
And, so I said I love Devin Singletary, so I was happy to see it. But we'll see what happens this weekend. So I was on Josh Allen's over to 243 and a half. I hit that. He threw for 308. So, it was, like I said, it was fun if you like watching the Patriots get dog walked. So
yeah, they did that. That definitely happened.
Yeah. Moving on to the Bucks Eagles game. I was wrong. I thought the Eagles would cover, make it more of a game. It ended up being 31-15, but it wasn't close. I mean, the Eagles could not move the ball. They couldn't run the ball. Jalen Hurts can't pass. So, when he gets down, he's not able to you know, drop, be a drop back passer. Yeah, he can run, you know, he can scramble and throw it a little bit, but I think that's his biggest, you know, downfall. And I've said it a lot that he's not a drop back passer. And, you know, when you're losing, that's what you got to do. So,
yeah, I mean, similar to the Patriots, they're just not built for, you know, big comeback type games. They're just not, that's just not their MO. You know, I've said last week, I've already mentioned it this week, you know, running the ball in the NFL, especially during playoffs, wins you games. And that's what a lot of teams probably focus on in the offseason is getting a good running back, getting good O-line, things like that. But ultimately, you got to have a quarterback and you got to have some wide receivers that can stretch the field and make big-time plays. And when we talk about, you know, New England, they don't have those wide receivers. And then obviously, then you go to Philadelphia and, you know, Devonta Smith is pretty darn good. But other than that, it's tough. I mean, I don't know if Jalen Hurts has a lot of confidence in his guys. And to be honest with you, I don't have a lot of confidence in Jalen Hurts' arm. I mean, I never thought he was that great. I think I said this last week. I just didn't see this game being good. I think that Tom, especially in playoff time. And we kind of saw that. And then you see that defense get going, you know, those linebackers starting to fly around the ball. That's, you know, that's what the big reason why they went on a big run last year, and to see Devin White all over the field, you know, last Sunday was pretty promising if you're a Bucs fan.
What up, Rich? Rich is my normal co-host. He's been busier in health work right now. So like I said, I had Abe step in and Rich big, well, he's the biggest Raiders fan I know. So I said, we gave kudos to your Raiders earlier, Rich. So you'll have to go back and listen. We were proud of them for, you know, going through what they did to end up where they were. So, the Hurts is very inaccurate too. If you watch some of those, you know, they're trying to hit some short passes to Devonta Smith so he can do something with the ball. And it's like, it's terrible. I mean, he's got a lot to work on, and Howie Roseman or whatever. I think, yeah, that's our GM. He said he's the guy next year. So,
yeah,
I said they should trade those three first round picks for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I just, you know, I've seen some stuff, you know, during the games last weekend, you know, a little bit post game stuff on Sunday and Monday. You know, on it's playoff time. It's time to get your studs the ball. And that first half, even, you know, first quarter and a half, I guess first half mostly, you know, Devonta Smith never got a chance to even get the ball. And so I think it was Aikman and Buck that was broadcasting. And I think Aikman made a comment at one point in time, like, you got to get your studs ball. I mean, that's all there is to it. And if you want a chance to win, that's how you do it in the playoffs. And, yeah. You know, even during the regular season for that matter, but when he doesn't touch the ball, I mean, that's not an advantage for Philly. And when you're playing against Brady or, you know, a team in the playoffs, on the road against defending Super Bowl champs, you pretty much got to be perfect. And by not getting him the ball is pretty imperfect in my opinion.
Oh yeah. I said they're young and I don't think Sirianni's a good coach, but what do I know?
So. Well, I mean, you know, no one thought that the first 7 or 8 weeks until the, you know, crowd was chanting, run the ball. Then he started doing that. And then they played pretty well. I think their schedule was a little bit soft down the stretch.
Very.
And I think they squeaked into the playoffs that way. But they were not a team that I was concerned that would make a run in the playoffs, especially going to Tampa to start off.
Yeah, they got some work to do in the draft. They said, I either trade those three picks for Russ Wilson or draft some offensive and defensive linemen because they don't have that. So
yeah, or just draft Justin Jefferson instead of Jalen Reagor. I mean, that probably would have helped a little bit too a few years ago.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
But moving on to, I guess you'd probably say the best game of the week, 49ers at the Cowboys. I was on the Niners plus +3 and it worked somehow. I was kind of nervous there at the end. And then, they won by 6. I did miss Jimmy G. I thought he'd throw a touchdown or one over. I thought he'd throw two. He didn't throw any. He only threw for like 200 yards or something, 212. But didn't really need to. Debo's his rushing was over 28.5, hit that easily, 72 yards. And Kyle Juszczyk over 7.5 receiving yards. He got 15. So I had a couple. I don't know. like I said, this game was fun to watch from the get go. And I, after that first drive, you know, watched Elijah Mitchell just run it down their throat. And I was like, oh shit, the Cowboys are in for a, this is going to be a long day.
That zone run scheme, he's so good in that. I mean, it's just, it's so good to watch him. And I don't know, I mean, I don't know if he would be that great of a running back in a different scheme, like in a, you know, in a different scheme of him running the ball, but he's so good and so patient at those, as those blocks get outside and get together. It's fun to watch. I mean, he's really good. He's explosive in that offense. Like he hits that hole and he finds another level. He doesn't have explosive speed like downfield, I don't think. But he just, gosh, he's so patient in that zone scheme. And when he gets through it, you know, he gets through it. It seems like his, you know, anyone else's 3 or 4 yards on first down is his 8 or 9. He's pretty impressive in that run scheme.
Yeah, it's going to be a test Saturday for us with the way they run the ball. And not just Mitchell. I mean, the same with Debo, you know what I mean? Like I said, he had 72 yards on the ground and he looks like a damn good running back out of the backfield, you know, and even better catching the ball, you know, outside. So
yeah, he's the ultimate, you know, dual threat guy that you could ever face. I mean, I think I saw something, I don't know where I saw this at. I think I saw that Debo Samuel has more rushing yards than Zeke in the last 9 or 10 games or something. And that's just,
well, Zeke had a torn PCL or something like that. Some excuse they made for him.
That's crazy for a guy that you know, plays outside and has a run that's already pretty darn good. So, when Debo gets the ball, you know, I called this last week, you know, if he gets to 100, you know, if he has a rushing and receiving combination of 100, you know, that's the one play I liked. He's just so electric. He's so good with the ball. I mean, he finds, you know, once again, kind of finds holes, and he's good. That run he had for 30 some yards for that touchdown was awesome.
He's not afraid of contact either. I mean, you know, it's like, and he just, his legs keep churning. Like I said, he looks like a damn Rick, you know, he's been a running back all his life. Mm-hmm. So it's he's fun to watch. That's for damn sure. I was talking on Tuesday about, you know, that, I don't know what you thought. I know, like I said, us being Packers fans, we watched McCarthy forever make stupid mistakes, like, you know, time management, just not very good at it sometimes, it seemed like. And, you know, luckily Rodgers was there usually to kind of fix that, you know, and make up for it. But it seemed, in my opinion, it felt like they'd never practiced that before. Like, it looked like nobody knew what to do. You know what I mean? It was like, hey, we don't have much time left. So, you know, and Dak runs, and of course, you know, everybody's like, well, he should have slid earlier. But I mean, I don't think even if, you know, he slides, if he hands the ball to the official or whatever, they wouldn't have time. You know, it was so close.
Yeah, I think that's a tough call. And it's easy for us to sit at home and say,
yes,
you know, get down or get out of the way or what's this ref doing or, you know, all of that stuff. But, it, you know, like I've mentioned before, in the heat of the moment, when you're playing out there, I mean, you're there to compete, and you think 14 seconds is enough. You have to do that. I just, you know, as you mentioned about McCarthy earlier, you know, I was a huge fan of him when he was first with Green Bay. And I think that obviously my enjoyment of him tailed off his last few years. So to say the least, we'll be real polite about it.
We don't need to say anything else.
but he, you know, he just looked like we've seen before, Nate, as Packers fans, he just looked on the sideline, just kind of lost. And when you have a quarterback like Dak out there and he's just not used to, you know, carrying a team late. Dak doesn't have to do that. They've been down in some games this year and Dak's brought him back. Dak's been awesome in games, thrown 5 touchdowns. I mean, stuff like that, but playoff scenario, you know, Dak's only won one playoff game, I believe. So, you know, that it just showed to me that the coaching just wasn't that great. And obviously when you have 14, 15 penalties, that kind of proves that as well. And I just think that that's kind of where they lost a few things. You know, the ref situation, there was a couple of calls that I, you know, didn't quite agree with. But ultimately they have to set the ball. That's the rules.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things where, you know, you got to be a little bit more prepared for that. And So that 14 seconds to happen, what he did, everything has to be picture perfect to get one more pass in the end zone. And I just think with the skill set of your wide receivers, you know, maybe try two passes from, you know, 12 yards back, you know, maybe, you know, I think you can get two passes off there. Yeah. Or maybe running out to try get CD Lamb the ball for once in this game and run an out pattern to him instead of, you know, and seeing if he can get out of bounds. I just don't know if that was the greatest play call with 14 seconds. And well, obviously,
it's that's what I'm saying. It just felt like they never practiced it. Like, yeah. They never, like, you know, like, been like, all right, guys, hey, there's 20 seconds left on the clock. Well, you know, what do we do? Mm-hmm. It's like they never did.
Yeah.
Because it just, you know, and like I said, it's easy to say that now. But I just, you know, the coaching, you know, but at the same time, you guys got a shit ton of really good players. You got to play like it. I mean, Dak didn't have his best game. We know that. And I'm not just trying to hate on the Cowboys by any means. I just, they didn't play that well. And, you know, the Niners run game did. So,
yeah. And I think that it's not so much that, I mean, Dallas still had a chance to win that game if you don't if you don't commit 14 penalties and you don't, and you get CD Lamb the ball and you get, you know, I wish Pollard plays more than Zeke. I mean, that's another thing. I just don't understand, like, getting him the ball out and open. He's just more explosive. I mean, I think Zeke had 30 yards or something. What does that do? That doesn't, you know, that doesn't do a whole lot for you. So I just, you know, at those times, I just thought that, they should have just gone to their studs a little bit more. And then get the ball out of bounds. I mean, 14 seconds. I don't think you run the ball up the middle. That's with a quarterback draw. I'm just not a huge fan of it.
Yeah, it was a tough year for. I don't think I had CeeDee Lamb anywhere that I can remember in any leagues, and it was a tough year. I think I listened to it today on the radio, but they were saying too, like, you know, the Niners were scared to get beat deep. They were giving CeeDee Lamb and those guys 7 or 8 yards. It's like, just throw it to him. You don't have to try to beat him deep every single time.
Yeah,
you know, and like I said, if the Niners do that to the Packers, they're going to get destroyed. Devontae and Alan Lazard are going to run, you know, quick routes, and it'll be over. But
well, that's the difference is Rodgers will pick up on that, and so I think that you know Dak didn't do that. I think Dak went to, you know, 3 and 4 wide receivers such as like Dalton Schultz and stuff like that, Cedric Wilson. He relied on those guys instead of, you know, Cooper and Lamb, and I just think that in the end. You know, once again in the playoffs, in the end, that can be a good result for you here and there. But if you're going to do that all game long in the playoffs, that's not a good recipe for success. So, it was one of those things where, you know, it's easier to say because we're sitting here, but at the same time, there just wasn't some great calls. That's all you can say.
That's old Mike for you. Yeah. Moving on, the Chiefs. Blew the doors off the Steelers. I didn't bet on this game. I mean, I guess I said, you know, Chiefs minus 12 and a half, but the Chiefs don't cover. They did. They never looked back after really the second quarter. Started off kind of slow. TJ Watt scores a touchdown, and it's like, oh, man, the Steelers are doing something. And then it was pretty much over after that. So I don't have much to say about this game. I didn't even really pay much attention to it, to be honest with you. I watched a little bit of it, but I didn't really care.
Yeah, it was, you know, like I said last week in our podcast that, you know, I think they're going to call for Big Ben's retirement at halftime. And I was sitting there watching the game, and I think it was 0-0 after one. I'm like, well, maybe I'm going to eat my words to this.
Yeah.
And then it got pretty brutal in the second quarter, and then even worse after that. And it was just one of those games where there was football on, so I watched it. It was playoff football, so I watched it. But at the same time, it was just never a game. And you know, I thought the Chiefs would cover for once. They had a big spread, and they did, you know, purely because I just thought that Pittsburgh had no chance in this game. So
had no business being in their game.
No.
They shouldn't even been in the playoffs.
No. Nope. Sorry, Steeler Nation.
Hey, Big Ben, love you, dude. Hall of Famer, man. You know, but it's not all his fault. No offensive line makes it tough.
Yeah, you have one of my, you know, favorite coaches in the league. I mean, there's a lot of good talent there. And Steelers win all the time. I mean, but it was not their year to be competitive in the playoffs.
They should have given Najee Harris the ball more than like 5 times or whatever it was.
Yeah, I don't understand that, but we're kind of going back to the same thing I've said about the other couple of games when we're talking about losses. Why not get your studs the ball? I don't know.
And it's, you know, I think I've said it, well, hell, all year where it's, you know, you get, when you get down, it's hard to run the ball. You know what I mean? It's hard to stick to it. You know, but anyways, we'll move on to the last game. I took the Cards. I liked him +4. I thought that the Rams had kind of faltered. Won some close games. Stafford hadn't played that well. He's been turning the ball over anyways. But hey, shout out. Congrats, Matt Stafford. Got your first playoff win finally. You know, he looked good. The Rams looked good. The Cardinals did not. Apparently they just get really shitty after the first like 8 or 9 weeks. And they just, I don't know. They were, like I said, they looked like they shouldn't even have been there. But hell, they just got the shit beat out of them by the Seahawks the week before and they were terrible.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we talked about the Rams quite a bit last week, how they were so good in the first half and then so terrible in the second half against the 49ers. They played a pretty good game this week against, you know, Arizona in the playoffs. So, you know, being a Packers fan, I hope that they're not getting it together at the right time. But I think they are. You know, I think this team is very, very good, very tough to beat. They have a lot of weapons. We saw, you know, the crazy part is you see Sony Michel rip off a 35-yard run, you know, right out of the gate. And then all of a sudden it's Cam Akers time the rest, you know, pretty much the rest of the game. And So if you got, you know, a good 1-2 punch like that, where you can do that and kind of ride a hot hand, even though the first guy rips off a 35-yard run, but doesn't see a whole lot of touches after that. If you can do that and run the ball, and then, you know, in Cooper Kupp gets quote unquote, you know, held down a little bit, and still beat a team that was the last team to lose a game in the NFL this year, I think you're feeling pretty good about yourself.
Yeah. Oh, and Rich, it is not Mason Rudolph time in Pittsburgh. There's no way they could let him be the quarterback. Like, that guy is, I suck, and I think I could do just as bad as he does. Like, he is goddamn terrible.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was still on the team. Like, let fucking Dewey Haskins out there. I mean, he could at least throw the ball. God.
Yeah, they need a trade or draft. I don't think that Mason's the answer.
No, or Dole Gill, Duck Hodges out there, or that scumbag was. But I was pretty happy with the one prop I bet before the game. Van Jefferson's over of 38.5. One catch, 41 yards. So he's been pretty – that's kind of like what he does. I remember first – was it week one, Abe? I was at your house for like – did the Rams play on Monday Night Football? And I said, take that Van Jefferson over in yards. And like second or third play, Stafford launches one to him and he catches like a 70-yarder.
Yeah, last year when he came out, I heard you talking, I think it was on one of these podcasts, about how you liked him a lot. And I didn't know a whole lot about him. And then I've actually watched him and followed him a little bit more this year. And I stole him last year, I think, in a dynasty league from you, even though I didn't know hardly anything about him. But I heard you saying that you liked him. So I ripped him right off your hands. But anyways, you know, watching him this year, what's the receiver's name that got hurt?
Bobby Trees.
Yeah. When Robert Woods got hurt, and they already had OBJ on their team, I thought, well, you know, this Van Jefferson's been playing pretty good at that point in time. And this is a time for him to step up pretty good. And then they said, well, OBJ is going to be the guy. Van has just made some plays. And fortunately for him, it's been against his dad and the Cardinals. I think his dad's a wide receivers coach for the Cardinals or something.
Yeah, I think so.
So he's had two big plays against them in the last two times they've played, you know, that have been pretty key. I mean, this last one seemed like, you know, that was kind of a punch saying, you know, hey, we're not going to just continue running the ball. We're going to run. Then I'm going to play action with Stafford and we're going to let one rip downfield and Van's going to put it away. But I don't think the game was put away at that point in time, but I think that it just felt like, you know, this, the Rams can do whatever they want. And I don't think the Cardinals could come back from it. So yeah, he's pretty impressive to watch, man. He's fun to watch. He does only get 1 to 2 catches a game. But when he does, he makes the most of them.
Yeah. You know, like pre-draft coming out of Florida too, I liked him. I wanted him to go to the Packers cause he was, you know, they didn't get him, you know, middle of the draft. I can't remember where he got drafted, but you know, he's a good route runner and he's where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. And that's a guy like Matt Stafford, extremely accurate, you know, throws with anticipation like you're supposed to. He's going to throw the ball. And if you're there, he loves it. And that's why I liked him so much. And I think it's shown with a real quarterback, not, Jared Goff, you know, that how, you know, how easy he makes it look. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think they got a pretty bright future there. So we'll see what happens after this week or going forward. But yeah, it was a kind of a snoozer of a game. So hopefully these week, I think all four this weekend should be pretty fun.
Yeah.
The first one, Saturday at 3:30 our time, 4:30 out on the right coast. Bengals at the Titans. I think both of us, yep, we both like the Bengals +3.5. I was pretty hesitant. There we go, Avalanche. That's what we needed. I was pretty hesitant to take the Bengals, just because I'm nervous about them being able to, if Derrick Henry plays, to being able to stop him, or even the Titans running game at all, because they're so physical and they've been able to run the ball with Donta Foreman, with Nichols. I don't know who else, I don't even know who the running back is, to be honest. I keep forgetting. But the Bengals' defensive line is destroyed by injury right now, and I don't know who's even going to be back. Little tasty little nugget. I love Logan Wilson in the playoff league. He's a monster and probably get a lot of tackles. So good chance he does well. And I'm nervous that Joe Burrow won't be able to stay upright because the Titans defensive line's decent and the Bengals offensive line is not.
Yeah, I mean, one of these games where I just don't really have a good feel for how this game's going to play out. The reason I took the Bengals +3.5 is because of the hook. it was kind of like what I said last week for the Cowboys San Francisco game. Like, I don't know which way I want to go, but wherever that hook falls is probably what, you know, if I was forced to play it, that's what I would do. But the Bengals they're riding high. They're playing with a ton of confidence. You know, I think that, you know, if Derrick Henry is 90%, 80%, 100%, whatever he is, I think that he's gonna give them a tough time, obviously, with all the injuries and things like that on Cincinnati's you know, front four, front seven. So I do see that being kind of an issue. The one thing where I kind of keep going back to is Burrow. I mean, the guy's playing awesome. He's playing with a lot of confidence for someone that's in his second year. And then on top of it,
because that injury.
Yeah. And then on top of it, Tennessee is just atrocious against the pass. And so, you know, I mentioned earlier, if there's a team that can come back, if they're down points, I mean, this Bengals team can do it. I mean, they have all the weapons in the world on the outside. So I think that's one thing that could keep this game pretty close. I think it's whoever protects the ball a little bit more kind of wins this game. I think if there's turnovers on Cincinnati's side, I think Tennessee wins this game. I think if Tannehill, you know, turns the ball over, I think this shifts towards Cincinnati a little bit. I also saw, I don't think Tannehill has played with his core, you know, three or four, whatever it is, you know, very much this year. And so we'll see how that kind of plays out, you know, having Derrick Henry and Julio and AJ, you know, he has not had that opportunity much this year. And they're a team that's had a tough schedule, had a crazy amount.
The beginning of the year.
Yeah. Beginning of the year. Had a crazy amount of injuries and ultimately, you know, you get the number one seed. So we'll see. I mean, it's right now the fun pick for everyone, you know, for, you know, is to pick the Bengals because you root for the underdog, you root for the fun, exciting team. But let's not forget that number one seed team is getting healthy and they get their horse back in Derrick Henry. He's going to be tough to stop.
Yeah. Oh, and Rich. Yeah. Dontrell Hilliard. Rich reminded me in the comments here. That's who it was. Yeah. And Rich said, it all depends on if Henry comes back and he's the Henry we saw, you know, I think he's right. If Henry, like you said though, too, if they control the ball and Henry's healthy, it's going to be tough. I just, the one thing that I like about the Bengals and their passing game is they can score pretty goddamn quick. You know what I mean? So I know that, you know, Vrabel's going to want to control the ball and, you know, time possession is huge, but they're so electric that I think it will be tough. I said it on Tuesday too. I don't think the Titans are that good. They haven't played anybody.
Yeah.
I know they've been hurt. Has Julio Jones scored a touchdown this year?
No. He had one called back that he pretty much thought he was in. He was on the sideline for it, and they had him bring him back. Actually, he probably got hurt from there. But
yeah, probably.
And I'm a Julio fan, but it's
been I love the guy, but it's like this year's been fucking stupid. It's like you can't cheer for
it. I would not be shocked if this game is Burrow gets the ball down, you know, 3 or 6 or 7 or whatever it is, and brings his field down, you know, brings his team down the field and you know, kicks a field goal or you know, goes for a winning touchdown or whatever it is, or turns the ball over. I mean, you just never know. I mean, I think Joe Burrow is awesome. I think he's on a hot streak. But it is the playoffs and it is against Vrabel. You know, I have a lot of respect for Vrabel. I think he's been a great coach. Oh my gosh. Yeah, he's awesome.
Coach of the year.
A great coach. So I don't know. It'll be exciting to watch because it's, you know, you want to pick the Bengals because they're exciting. They're fun. But then again, the Titans are the number one seed for a reason. I mean, they still got the number one seed. So, and they did a lot of that without their horse. I mean, for what, 8 or 9 weeks he's been out.
Yeah. And AJ Brown was gone for a while.
Yeah.
Julio's played like 3 games all year or something like that, you know, and we'll see what happens. See how Tannehill plays, I guess, too, if they do have to throw the ball. But my biggest thing is the Bengals defensive line and the Bengals offensive line because they are terrible, you know. And I know they were better this year than before, but Joe Burrow is gonna get fucking killed if they don't draft some players.
Yeah.
So
well, he had the option this year and he chose Jamar Chase over lineman, so that's worked out pretty well for this year.
And yes, it's worked out. I know. Same thing I said about the Dolphins and they drafted Waddle.
Yeah, he needs to load up on someone to protect his knees. So
Jamar
Chase has got his back all year, but he needs to look out for his knees. But yeah, I think it's gonna be a fun game. I'm looking forward to it. I think my prop bet that I like is Chase over 76.5 yards. I think he has a game. I think their wide receivers do. Tennessee, it seems like every time I watched them, they just get ripped in the secondary. And so, and I think the last time I watched them play, and it wasn't, I'm not a big Titans watcher. You know, you don't watch a lot of their games. Cause they're not exciting.
They got a stud ass safety, Kevin Byard. That dude's a beast, but he's it. Yeah. So.
But I think the last time I actually kind of watched them, you know, I think Debo went off on them, you know, a couple weeks before the end of the season, the end of the regular season. And so I just see Chase having one of those games. I think that 76.5 is awfully low. And I think before kickoff, I think you're probably going to see that around 85.
Yeah. I'd probably watch more Titans games if Vrabel was ripping cigs on the sideline and had like a whole can of chew in his mouth, you know, and was like doing something cool. But since they don't let him do that, it's not much fun to watch. So,
yeah, maybe he's going to the blue tent for that or something. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's ever been in a blue tent, though. He's that tough. I think he'd refuse to go in there.
He's doing the Oklahoma drill at practice with no helmet on, you know, like smashing his head. He loves it.
Yeah, he's a fun coach.
He's awesome. So, moving on to the Saturday night game, the one we're most excited for, Niners at the Packers, 7:15 our time Saturday night. I have to pick the Packers -5.5. I probably won't bet anything till the game gets going, kind of what we've been doing, it seems like. You know, we could probably talk for 3 hours about this game. So, you know, I'll let you say what you want to say about it, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah, I mean, if you know me, you know that I don't really play a lot on the Packers. Just because if I do, it's to hedge something. I'd rather lose some money and have them win. So, but there are some things that I think are, you know, some points to be made about this game. Obviously Rodgers has struggled against San Francisco in the playoffs. I think he's 0-3 against them, I believe. You know, so that's something to kind of worry about. That running game has beat up on the Packers before. You know, those are some worry, you know, some things to be worried about. But on kind of the flip side on it, if you're a Packers fan, you know, Devontae has dominated San Francisco his last 3 matchups. I think he's averaging about 10 or 11 catches for 150 a game. And I don't think that really changes this week. You know, I think the only thing that kind of slows him down maybe is the cold a little bit. But I think that, you know, he is obviously, you know, you and I talk about it all the time. He's, you know, a top 2 or 3 wide receiver in this league. And I think that, you know, he'll show that again this weekend. I think that's pretty impressive. I also like Debo to score once again this week. That's another prop that I like for Debo to score. So he gets the ball too much in his hands And I see the Niners putting up some points.
Yeah, I like, like I said with you, you know, Devontae definitely over catches and probably a touchdown too. It's going to be fun. I think that the cold is going to hurt Jimmy G more than it's going to hurt Aaron. So
yeah, I got that. Jimmy G's course. Never played in anything less than 38 degrees or something, and so
yeah.
That I think that's going to be. I think
it's like negative two.
Might hurt a little bit more. In that cold weather. So he's won this year, only thrown the ball, less than 12 times. I think he threw it once, one game, and they won. So yeah. Maybe he'll go out and pull Mac Jones and throw the ball three times or whatever and be successful. But hopefully for our case, that's not how it works. That's not how it plays out.
Yeah. We'll be getting rowdy and having fun. So it's going to be a good time. Yeah. Yeah. That's for sure. I think it's, I don't know. I'm confident, but can't be too confident ever. So we'll go ahead and move on to Sunday's games. First one, weird times on Sunday. Rams at Bucks, 2:00 our time. I like the Bucks -3. I know Stafford won his first playoff game. He's, you know, got all the weight off his shoulders, but I think the Bucks are, they're just the better team. I really do. And, you know, better coach, better quarterback. I think they'll take care of business.
Yeah, it's hard to bet against Brady. I mean, I said that last week. You know, we all know that. I mean, but ultimately I'm going to keep riding the Rams. I just think they were too impressive last week. I think that having that running game that McVay can lean on is very helpful for them. I think it'll be a big help if I don't know if Fournette it will be available this week. I mean, I thought he was going to be available this past week, then he was scratched the day before. So, I think having him out there, but Keyshawn Vaughn once again looked really good. Brady likes dropping the ball off to who's the running back that used to
play for Cincinnati?
What's that?
Gio Bernard. Yeah, not sure. Smaje Perine still plays for the Bengals.
Yeah. So, I think that, you know, we'll see a lot of his catches. I just, it's hard to bet against Brady. So I don't want to do that, but I just think that the Rams are rolling right now. I think they have, you know, I think they have enough weapons on defense that, they're loaded with talent, that can slow Brady down a little bit. And one thing that Brady does not do well against is a heavy pass rush. And I think that's what the Rams are loaded at, where they can. They can pass rush four and drop seven back. And that could hurt Brady a little bit.
I think if I know Tristan Wirfs got hurt last week. I don't know if he's playing or not. I haven't really looked into it. If he's got both those guys out, I might probably change my pick and go with the Rams just because if they're going to get pressure up the middle, that's when Brady struggles when he has to slide left and right. So
yeah,
if that's the case, you know, I think it will be probably the Rams, but we'll see what happens come Sunday. So
yeah, I think that O-line is key, is very big. And like you said, if those guys are out, I mean, Brady can't move lateral very easily, very well. And I think that, that Aaron Donald and, the rest of those pass rushers can. So I think that it's going to be a little bit too much for Brady.
Yeah, and I do think, too, that I think the Bucs D-line, they can get to Stafford, too. That Rams offensive line, good run blockers, not the best pass blocking. So if they get, you know, in a situation like that, too, I think it can kind of hinder both guys. But I think, I'm kind of swaying myself towards the Rams now that I'm forgetting about that offensive line being hurt. Well, so
Don't let me do that to you. But yeah,
no, I thought about the other day.
I think that this again, you know, OBJ's look good. You know, he's looked good the last few weeks. I think
he's got a cannon.
What's that?
That's a hell of a pass he threw to the other day.
Yeah. So I think he has a pretty good game. I think Van gets another catch over, or maybe two catches to put him over his yards, a 30, I think it's 35 and a half or something right now. So I think that there's going to be some points scored in this game, because I think both offenses can put them up in a hurry. Obviously both defenses are very loaded and stacked, but we'll see. I think, you know, this one will be a fun one to watch. That's for sure. I'm looking forward to this one a lot.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. It'll be a good one. Van Jefferson, I think that's one you just got always bet. So
I can't believe we talked about Van Jefferson and OBJ and didn't even mention Cooper Kupp. That's crazy. Yeah, I think Cooper Kupp gets the ball a lot this week. I think he's the man. I think the Rams know they have to put it in their playmakers' hands against Brady, and I think that happens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I like Van Jefferson a lot. So,
yeah.
You know, everybody always talks about Cooper Kupp. We don't need to be like everybody
else.
So.
You're right.
And the final game, which is going to be a hell, this game is going to be awesome, I hope. Actually, I know it's got to be. So Bills at the Chiefs Sunday night, 5:30, another weird game time. I like the Bills plus 1.5. I don't know. The Chiefs, like I said, they started pretty slow last week. I don't think they're the same Chiefs that we've seen. They are extremely good. You know, Mahomes is awesome. Andy Reid's great. But the Bills are, they look so good last week. And I think that they're going to be on the way to the AFC Championship.
Yeah, I think this is the AFC Championship, actually. So I don't know which way to go with this. I mean, the Chiefs at home, it's hard to bet against Mahomes and the Chiefs. They've been there the last couple of years. But, I mean, it's also hard to bet against a team that was completely 100% efficient on offense last week against a very solid defense all season long. So, it's kind of hard.
And some shitty ass cold weather too. It was pretty nasty up there in Orchard Park.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be, it should be pretty nice in Kansas City this weekend. So that'll help.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I'm really looking forward to this game as well. The one thing I did see this, I think all 12 Bills wins that they've had this year have been by more than 10 points. So, they've not won a game that's been within 10 points. Which is crazy to think about. They even played Kansas City earlier, and I think they beat them by, I think 18 or 13 or something. It was double digits for sure. So, that's a crazy stat to think about and look at, that all their wins have been by more than 10, but it'll be awesome. I mean, you're seeing Allen against Mahomes, you're seeing, studs out there in Kelce and Hill and Diggs and, it's going to be fun to watch. I'm really, really looking forward to this game. It's fun to watch Singletary. I know you've always been kind of a fan of him. I have not.
Mm-hmm.
But gosh, he's getting it done. I mean, he's getting it done running the ball. He's getting the ball receiving. He's getting touches in the red zone, which I think I touched on a little bit last week. You know, usually you're used to Buffalo not being able to run the ball in the red zone unless it's Allen. And now they have a threat down there. They have someone that can has a knack for it and can find the end zone. So I think that Singletary has a good game. I think he probably scores. I think he gets, his rushing and receiving is something I would like to look at. I think I saw it today at 83.5 combined rushing and receiving. I think he gets the ball a lot on the outside, catching the ball in open space. And when they need to kind of run the ball up the gut, he's the one. So,
yeah,
this is going to be a good one. We'll see if, I think a big thing is if Tyreek Hill would be 100% healthy. He's a guy that can flip a field in a hurry. But I think that this is going to be fun to watch. I mean, it's cool watching Diggs. He's a gamer and big time games. He shows up. So this will be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be a shootout. I also couldn't find any yards for him yet, but Isaiah McKenzie, I like him. He's come on really, really strong for the Bills. I think when everybody's kind of keyed in on Steph Diggs and Dawson's Creek Knox or whatever you want to call him, that's what I usually call him, because that stellar show. But I think that he kind of gets quite a bit of run, So I don't know if the Chiefs defense can handle it, to be honest. I know they've played so much better as of late, but yeah, I don't know. But like I said, Chiefs is the Chiefs, so
yeah,
they've been good for a while.
I mean, that's why they play the games, right? Is because we just don't know. I think the Chiefs had a little bit of advantage because they're playing at home, and they've been there before. They beat them last year to get to the Super Bowl. Sometimes that has an upper edge, but I think if you're looking at, you know, how teams have played the last month, I think the Bills are definitely a scary team to be coming into Arrowhead. I think they're probably hoping, you know, gosh, why are we getting them right now? We, you know, if we're going to get Buffalo, you know, we were hoping it would be one more week later. But ultimately, I think whoever wins this game wins the AFC Championship if they come out healthy. So, in my opinion, I think this is the AFC Championship.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of people are kind of on the same page with that. So, well, hey, we made it through all the games. Hey, thanks for joining me again tonight.
Not a problem. Blast. Thanks for having me.
Like I said, hopefully we can get in the garage and make it work. I'll order a microphone tomorrow so we'll be able to make it work because,
all right.
Yeah, my computer was being shitty earlier anyway. So, yeah. But check us out on Twitter at Toilet Titles. Check me out at Nate_Dirt19. You can check Abe out at MVINFF on Twitter. Like I said, give him a follow. Said shoot us any questions you got. And like I said, hopefully it'll be a fun weekend. And we'll be talking about the Packers and the Rams in the NFC Championship, right?
I don't know about that. Gosh, I hope so, but I don't know who I'd rather play if the Packers win. So it'll be fun. That's all. I'm looking forward to it. We'll hopefully be watching it together on Saturday night.
Oh yeah. I'll be over there for sure. We'll be getting nice and
rowdy. Rowdy. We'll get rowdy.
Yeah. Yes. Oh yeah. Well, thanks again for tuning in, everybody. Have a good night, and we'll catch you next week.
Thank you.